Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief.
Today I'm speaking with Nancy Burns, who is the author of Closure, The Rush to End Grief and What It Costs Us, and a professor of sociology at Drake University. Nancy gives talks for various community groups, including counselors, pastors, bereavement support groups, and hospice volunteers and staff. Her TEDx talk, Beyond Closure, The Space Between Joy and Grief, blog and interviews such as those with the Boston Globe, The Guardian, The LA Times, US News and World Report, CBS News, Real Simple, and Prevention have garnered her both national and international attention. Ms. Burns, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Lulu.
My first question for you has to do with your book. And so could you describe what people are looking for when they talk about closure and why that can be detrimental to your grief process?
Yes, that's a great question. So it depends if people are talking about closure for their own grief or if they're talking about it for someone else's pain. A lot of times when we hear people write about closure or talk about closure, they're talking about other people. And in that case, a lot of times what they want is for somebody to be able to wrap up all that pain and all that grief and be done with it and to move on. When you're in the middle of your pain, your grief, you realize that it's usually not that simple, nor do you always want to just wrap up or forget about the pain and that loss. So sometimes when people are talking about closure for their own situation, they might be talking about wanting to end the pain. Other times, people might have something that's really the opposite in that they want to figure out how to remember. So closure is this really fluid concept that doesn't have just one definition, which makes it tricky. The second part of your question, why could that be harmful, is because it can make people feel isolated. So if they feel like others want them to have closure, what they might hear is, other people want me to stop talking about my pain. They want me to stop talking about my grief. Rather than feeling better, they might just stop talking about it. And that can be hurtful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess when you're having those conversations and you're thinking about it in your own head, what are healthier alternatives to work towards besides just trying to be done with your grief?
Right. So great question. And the first thing I think to understand is that grief is very individual. Yeah. So people grieve differently. And when we can make room for that space and those differences and understand that people are going to grieve differently, it takes a lot of pressure off of us. It takes pressure off of trying to compare yourself to others or comparing them to what you feel. So if you're aware that there are differences, then you know that what you're doing is not wrong and what other people, how they're grieving is not wrong. Feel the grief. Don't be afraid of the tears. Don't be afraid of the pain. At the same time, don't be afraid of the joy that's still in your life and the love. So the best way I think we can understand that is to realize that we can carry both joy and grief together. In our culture, there are some misconceptions about emotions. And one of those misconceptions is that we only feel one emotion at a time. So if people feel like, okay, I can only be sad or I can only be happy, generally we try and get people to feel happy, or we feel like there's something wrong with me if I'm being sad yet. When people are grieving, they might feel that there's something wrong with them and if they're feeling happy while also grieving. So this creates a lot of confusion. We are created to be able to carry multiple emotions at the same time. So know that it's okay to grieve and to feel joy. It's okay to, you know, still enjoy some things in your life even as you're sad about something else. So knowing those differences, knowing you can carry grief and joy together, those would be very helpful things. Not being afraid of the tears, being afraid of the grief. Another thing that it's not just in your own control, but find someone who's a good listener. Mm-hmm. Even if you just have one person in your life who can listen, who will be there for you, let you feel the way you feel at that one point. And maybe you don't want to talk about your grief, but they can just be there to have their presence, to go do something together. Even one person can make a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. And as a teenager, and this podcast is mostly for teenagers, I know I always have a billion different emotions going on at the same time. It's part of being a teenager. But I have felt the guilt of being happy on a day where I feel like I should be sad, or sad on a day where I feel like I should be happy because of my grief. So how can you, I guess, wade through that confusion and guilt and just feel what you're feeling?
Yeah, well, one thing is to try and give yourself permission to feel all those emotions. So knowing that it's okay that you have a range of emotions, and that you might be crying one minute and then laughing about something, you know, shortly after. Mm-hmm. That is, it can be normal. You might have a day when you're sad all day. That also might be normal. It's you know, of course, we want to try and have that balance, but to give yourself that permission to feel those complicated emotions. Then a second thing you want to try and do is to find a way to vent. So vent some of the anger. And usually anger, an underlying cause of anger can be hurt, grief, loss. And so a lot of times when we are angry, whether we're lashing out at others or lashing out at ourselves, and both of those can be a concern, we want to try and figure out, what is it that I'm upset about? So it might be that you could write in a journal. If you have that one person or someone that you can talk with, whether that's a friend, a family member, a coach, someone else in your life who would listen, try and vent to share what's going on. Even if you just have a short time at being able to try and share with somebody, I'm hurting, I'm angry, this is what's going on, it can open up enough room to have some of the love.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know I do this, and a lot of my friends do it too. We already vent and rant to each other about every little thing. So it's a comfortable way already to express ourselves. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so important what you said too, is having that. And what is a safe and comfortable way to share those that anger, that sadness, that loss? What becomes a bigger concern is when, not just teenagers, but it might be older adults as well, you know, might start self-harm or harming others as a way of venting those emotions, because that's all a way of communicating. There's something not right. It's communicating that pain that I feel. And so we want to try and help ourselves and help each other have that space to be able to communicate, I'm in a lot of pain. And when we can communicate that, when we can share that with others, and sometimes writing could be enough, but a lot of times it helps if we can connect with another person. It gives us a little bit more room inside to be able to manage all those complicated emotions. So we want to find those outlets, and we want to build that safe network.
Definitely. And something else that's part of being a teenager that I think can make it hard to deal with the whole closure concept is that a lot of us have really short attention spans, and it's sometimes hard to say, for my friends, to remember that I'm still going through a grief process, and sometimes there are really bad days. So when all of my friends, like, it's not even a blip on their radar anymore that this happened to me, but I still really go through it some days. How do I kind of, and how can teenagers connect even though there's that disconnect?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I don't know if this will help or make it harder, but that you don't seem to grow out of that. It's like, when you get into the adult world, adults also really have a hard time kind of remembering what people are going through, because we don't try and get over it. I don't think the goal should be to get over grief. Mm-hmm. We learn to carry loss. We learn to carry grief. But our own journey in doing that looks a lot different than we're watching someone else. And with, you know, children and teenagers, I think do grieve a little differently in that often are able to maybe pivot faster or quicker, depending, you know, if you're hanging out with friends, things might seem fine. And then if you're alone, some of those, that sadness, some of those feelings kind of come crashing down on you when you don't have the distractions of others, when you don't have the activity and what you're doing. But it's, we don't always see that with other people. So we might think, oh, they're doing fine. Oh, it's been a month. It's been several months. It's been a year. It's been 2 years. But in reality, grief is with us. And it does, you know, we do find a way to carry the grief. And it does get lighter. But we might experience waves of grief. And things trigger that grief. So I think that, again, going back, if you can find some people who are great supporters that you would feel comfortable going up to and say, hey, I'm just having a hard day. You know, and again, it's not that you necessarily have to talk about all the details. Sometimes it can be enough. Just somebody knowing you're kind of having a hard day and that they're validating that. They're saying, oh, I understand. So trying to share that with others. At the same time, I'm not saying you have to share that with everyone because that doesn't always feel safe either. So finding a few people that can be supportive. And if that's not people your own age, it might be a trusted adult that you feel you can share with. Or again, for some teenagers, writing a journal can be a great way to get some of those emotions out and have that. And writing can be very therapeutic. So trying to communicate with each other, trying to build that network. And then if you can't do that with friends, reaching out to other adults, whether in person or through social media, if that's the best way to do it for them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So my final question is, what is the most important piece of advice you have to give teenagers who are going through loss?
I would say remembering two things. You're not alone. You're not alone in having the pain, in having the loss. And even though our grief is individual and how we grieve is different than others, you're still not alone in going through that. So try and remember that. And then the second, what I talked about before, is to remember you can carry joy and grief together. So that means you don't have to wait till all the pain is gone before you might be able to feel some joy in other ways, before you can have some other love in your life, even as you're still carrying the pain. So those would be the two things. And if I were to add a third one, say that the grief and the pain, the loss that we go through, that is part is what strengthens us and gives us great experience to reach out and connect with others. So that's more of a longer term thing of how it builds our compassion and connecting with people. So that's also really cool that you start to see in your own life as well as other people. But know you're not alone and know you can carry joy and grief together. So don't feel guilty about that. Don't let that social judgment weigh down on you. Go ahead and feel those emotions, but connect with others.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, and Ms. Burns, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.